God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Amen. Welcome, everybody. This is called Maintenance and Sponsoring in Maintenance. And it's good to see all my old friends. You're in the right place, even if you're new to the program, if you're a sponsee or a sponsor. So this, my name is Judy Kay. This is
Jill T.
And there was one more person on our committee, Rebecca S., who is now in Michigan and she couldn't come. But she contributed a lot to this. So let me just tell you how this all started. Jill T., Rebecca S., and I were on the World Service Sponsorship Committee, and we felt a great need to clarify maintenance and sponsoring in maintenance issues. There was so much confusion, especially on the phone bridge and people who, you know, weren't live one-to-one. Lots of confusion. So the result was this workshop. We hope by the end of this workshop, you will be energized and revitalized as maintenance sponsors or sponsees. We have a skit that we're going to start with that demonstrates some of the confusion that can occur in maintenance. So here we go.
Welcome to the CEA How Quiz Show. Woo! Applause, applause. Our first contestant, come on stage.
You know, everyone, I'm so smart. I'm at maintenance, and you know the table in here? I'm 5'6", and I can eat everything in this table.
Beep! What's wrong with this picture?
I finally got to maintenance, and guess what? I get to weigh myself every single day.
Beep! What's wrong with this picture?
Maintenance and I look gorgeous. I don't have to commit my food or write a question every day. I don't even need a sponsor. I'm free.
Beep! Get off of this stage. Okay, today we will answer your questions and pass on to you how to do maintenance and see how, not this way, but as it is written. Because of this, you will stay at your healthy goal weight for the rest of your life. Yes, it's possible. And enjoy the many spiritual and emotional promises that will come true for you in maintenance.
So let's give you a big picture of what's going to happen today. What we did on our committee is we divided this into three sections. And Rebecca's section was maintenance sponsor guidelines and transition to maintenance. So since Rebecca is not here, I'm going to be presenting that. Then my section was physical abstinence and slipping in maintenance. We're going to go through the literature and get the facts on that. And then Jill is going to be doing...
I get to do my favorite part, the spiritual-emotional recovery that continues in maintenance and that we pass on to our sponsees.
That lucky duck. Then we're very fortunate we created a questionnaire for people in maintenance. And some of those people are here today. So you're going to have a panel of four people at the end that are long-term maintenance people. They all come from varied areas. Some are athletic, some have you know, they all have their own wisdom, and we try to pick varied people. These weren't all the people that filled out the questionnaire, but we're lucky that four of them are here, and they're going to be coming up and sharing their recovery. And then any questions that you have as we proceed, please write them down, because at the end, you'll be able to go up to that microphone right there and make sure you sign this sheet before you go to the microphone. This is very important. David mentioned that. So make sure you sign this, otherwise they can't publicize or put on the website the recording. So we're going to get started. Why don't our panel members raise their hands so people know who they are? We have Ginger in the back. We have Jim. We have Pamela. And we have Ruth. We're very lucky. Let's give them a hand. So you have, hopefully, outlines. Anyone who doesn't have those, take out the packets. People that were giving them out, do we have any left over? All right. So if you would be kind enough to share with your neighbor the packets. And these are the three outlines. We're going to start with the first one, which they're backwards. So the one on the bottom says requirements for a maintenance sponsor. Everyone see that? Yeah, right up here, requirements for a maintenance sponsor. Should be the very last one that you have. It doesn't start with CEA House Sponsor Guidelines? Okay, well, no problem. I thought that Lisa had run those off. But anyway, so just follow along. You can take notes if you need to. All right, 1 second. I'm going to get some of the literature and bring it over. I don't think this cord is long enough. So the beautiful thing about maintenance, I think, to me, is that it's pretty black and white. It's all in the literature. And I think it's like a scientific experiment that once, hold on, me. Once you get to your goal weight, if you have a maintenance sponsor, they will guide you to do what to do step by step. And this first part is Rebecca's. She wanted me to read something to you before she began. She's a great gal. How many people know Rebecca S? Moved from Las Vegas to Michigan. And she has such heart. So she wanted you to know this, that the greatest piece for her in beginning maintenance was gaining willingness to follow the direction of a sponsor and giving someone else charge over her food. Even though that starts in the beginning, maintenance is a lifetime process. She said when she arrived at her goal weight and she had lost a substantial amount of weight, and she was encouraged to add food in weighed and measured portions, and she continued to lose, and that scared her, because her sponsor wanted her to add foods. And she said she thought her sponsor was sabotaging her. So it was when she realized she was really crashing physically and mentally because she wasn't eating enough. And her blood sugar was going down, and her sponsor encouraged her to add first proteins. And that really helped her. So she thinks that she feels the biggest thing that really helped her on maintenance was just acceptance and trust in the process, no matter what. And to see, you know, I always tell people, just consider it a scientific experiment. Do it, and like we say in the beginning, if you feel better, great. If not, you know, maybe it's not for you. But we know that people will feel great once they get going. So what does the literature say on a maintenance sponsor? It's right in our beginning blue book, sponsor guidelines. And it says, maintenance sponsor. To qualify as a maintenance sponsor, you must have 90 days of continuous CHOW abstinence, be at goal weight, and that means women within 5 pounds and men within 10 pounds of goal weight. You need to be a food inventory and step sponsor, have completed all the books up to there, food, inventory, step, and then all the maintenance questions, and have gone through the maintenance sponsoring stepping up ceremony. So I think the biggest thing, I've seen a lot of people, they get within 5 pounds of their goal weight, they just don't want to get on maintenance, they're afraid. But maintenance is really no different than the rest of the program. It's just another step forward. And I'm not sure where Lisa is, because I know she had these. But anyway, the bottom of this sheet, we'll get these sheets to you. I know that she ran them off. Is maintenance is not a destination, but another step on our journey of recovery. So also on page 63 in that wonderful sponsoring book, which I really encourage all of you to get if you don't have one. How many people have our brand new sponsoring book? All right. If you don't, I'm pretty sure they're on sale here. $5? $9. But they're worth every cent because they clarify every step of sponsoring. Anyway, once you reach your goal weight and you complete the maintenance questions, it's really important to go through that ceremony. And the ceremony is right in the maintenance book. Yeah, hold it up right there. That is a beautiful book because, thanks, Jill, right in the beginning, okay, it tells you how to use the maintenance sponsor guide. And right here it says, sugar abstinence is part of our freedom of recovery, flour abstinence, we still weigh and measure, we go to meetings, and so forth. And it's really good to go through this with anyone who's new, if you have a sponsee who's new to maintenance, to let them know what the guidelines are. It says, all these ideals are combined to make recovery desirable and worth having. Tell the maintainer not that they've arrived, but that God will help them get there, step by step. Still all about the tools and the steps and the spiritual recovery. Also, in the stepping up part in here, it's great because it's divided thanks, Jill, into all three areas that we're going to be covering. And the first part are all questions about physical recovery. And it's important that people have the ceremony so that then when they get sponsees, they can pass that on to them. I had an interesting story. I was working with a maintenance sponsor in L.A. when I lived here. And then in the middle of that, I moved to Las Vegas and I got a job. And she continued to sponsor me. When I was ready to step up and needed the ceremony, she was in L.A. So I love this program so much, I flew to L.A. just to have this ceremony. And we sat in a restaurant and went through the ceremony. And then she took me to the meeting, and I stepped up as a maintenance sponsor. So then you're strong, and you can pass that forward to all the people that you sponsor. Let's see, back to this sheet. Okay, so transition to maintenance. How do we do that? And that's all in the Forever Abstinent book now, how you transition. So how do you arrive at a goal weight? I know what I did. I went to a doctor, and I asked him. And I would really encourage you and your sponsees to get some kind of detached, objective view of their goal weight. Because we're food addicts. We can't make up a goal weight. Their height and weight measurements, but we just went over in the business conference, go to your healthcare professional and talk to them about it, but make sure they know about the addiction in our program and what is the right goal weight for you. So then, incrementally over time, you add food selections. And the reason that it makes me crazy with that chart is people look at that chart and they think they can add everything on there. And that is only a guideline. It's probably the maximum that most of us can add. I love that in the Forever Abstinent book, that is here somewhere, Jill. Oh, can you get it on the table? Anyway, it talks about all the categories. And it says you don't have to do it in the order that it's written. You can discuss with your sponsee, thanks, honey, which categories that they're ready to add. For example, the first one is add fats as per menu outline. I know for me, I had high cholesterol, so that isn't the one that I wanted to add. So I added the second one, a dinner fruit. But you just add one item, and then the sponsee weighs 1 week and then 2 weeks, and you talk about their weight. So let's say the goal weight was 135. If they're within the range of 3 pounds up, 138, or 3 pounds down, you just keep at that. But if they lose more than 3 pounds, you add something else. Or if they gain more than 3 pounds, then you delete something. So, you know, the categories are written, and as a sponsor, you can pray about what's best for the person and then suggest it. You know, fats, fruit, lunch fruit, additional proteins, additional grain, additional fruit. But it's very step by step. And, you know, it's great because in 2 weeks, you know where you're at and what you need to add. Now, also on our wonderful plan, as you add these things, there are 6 phases in any order, and it suggested that the phases be rotated. Each phase terminates as the body accepts the additional food without a weight gain for a 2-week period. So I think of it as a staircase. You know, you're at a certain stair, right? Whatever your goal weight is. You have 3 steps up and you have 3 steps down. And that's just the way it is. And in our program, we learn willingness. And it's all about the willingness to recover from the food part so that you can get into the part Jill's going to talk about, the social and emotional part. And there's someone in this room that I'm very grateful to who told me early on, if you don't get the back-to-back physical abstinence, the promises don't come true. But once you do, then it is amazing. You know, the longer you're in maintenance. Oh, I forgot to qualify. I've been on maintenance 12 years, 3 months, and 21 days. Pretty amazing. And released 34 pounds. But the amount of pounds isn't, yeah, it's in the head, the war in the head. And I would say as I've gone along, I mean, the longer it is, the more I'm able to recover on those social and emotional levels. And the promises, the joy, it's amazing. Many people that did the questionnaire talked about that gift of desperation, that when you've had that, you don't want to go back to that for anything. And so it's that openness and willingness to do whatever your sponsor says because they've gone before you. One of the questions people have is, what if I get on maintenance before the food maintenance before I've completed the questions? And when that happens, the book says you have a choice. Like if you're in the middle of your inventory and you really trust your inventory sponsor, but she's not a maintenance sponsor, you can complete your inventory, but you must get a maintenance sponsor for your food. And I would strongly suggest as soon as you're able to switch over to that one sponsor who can guide you with everything, because it just makes it clear. But you have to finish all those questions until you can start working on your maintenance questions. So maintenance, although a new phase of the physical part of our recovery journey, is just another step. And let's see if you have this handout, which is called Physical Abstinence and Maintenance. Okay, so a lot of these things are repeated on there. I'll wait till everyone has that. If you don't have it, share with your neighbor. But you can see it talks about the freedom of recovery, weighing and measuring. Someone in program says, weighing and measuring is like praying. And honesty in using the scale. It doesn't really help if, you know, when it's time for you to tell your sponsor your weight, you lie about it, because that's part of our disease. You know, it's just honesty. And I'm going to read that middle part, which is so good. For many of us, the idea of maintaining our weight is alien, something that we have never been able to do before. However, prior to CEA Howe, we're not aware that our excess body size was a result of a physical, emotional, and spiritual disease we now identify as compulsive eating. So I always think of the physical abstinence as our foundation, because you don't really want to do anything unless you have that foundation. But from there, and on maintenance, you're living with that foundation, then you can just amazingly have such joy in your life, freedom from obsession. Now, I want to go to, you see those capital letters, when in doubt, leave it out? Okay, I know you don't want to see it, but there it is. So... in our Forever Abstinent book, on page 35, we get to add a lot of foods in maintenance. And some of these foods, fats and oils, starches and so forth, are the foods that we binged on. So if you have a food, and I know I've had many over the years, that calls to you and that creates that addictive substance, what are you going to do? Cross it out. It's not on your plan. It doesn't exist. And everyone is different. I know for me, I can't do nuts and seeds. I just can't. But I have a sponsee, and she does it every day, and she's been doing it for 2 years, and it doesn't call to her. So some people, as they go along, will find that they have addictions, and they always say the road narrows, like addictions to corn, or wheat. Any of you on maintenance found, raise your hand if you found as you went along, there are just certain foods that you can eat. And that's why the honesty in talking to your sponsor. I know if I try something immediately, if it's calling to me, I have to say it out loud to my sponsor. You know, I wanted to eat more of this. And then just follow her guidelines on that. Because most of the time, it's leave it out. And I love this on page 27 in Came to Believe. There's this section called Release from Obsession. And I'm going to change alcoholic to compulsive eater because I'm reading it out loud. It's okay. This says, in the late stages of our eating, the will to resist has fled. Yet, when we admit complete defeat, and when we become entirely ready to try CEA Howe principles, our obsession leaves us, and we enter a new dimension, freedom under God as we understand him. So knowing that that's our goal, I keep my food very simple. I just don't want to get into any obsession about the food. If it even starts, I say, I'm scratching that off my plan, you know, and I talk to my sponsor about it. Because the freedom when I'm not eating those substances and following my food plan is unbelievable. You know, that's what it's all about. We get into life and we have the joy and get into service. And no food is worth it for me today. So as sponsors, listen to your sponsee. you can hear a red flag if there's a food that they're eating every day and they're talking about how much they love it, they can't wait for it and all that. That's when you have to address it, because that's a red flag. I've had sponsees that have gone out on things that, you know, it's just so sad. It's just like, okay, you know. And I realized now that when that happened, I should have addressed it. I heard it right away. As sponsors, I'm sure you hear things from your sponsees that, you know, just say it out loud. You know, it concerns me that whatever. I feel nothing today is worth risking abstinence over. So the other thing on that first sheet is varying our selections. I don't know about you, but in the beginning, I felt I didn't want to vary anything. Every day, I'd eat the same breakfast, the same lunch, the same dinner. And so when I got into maintenance and my sponsor said, well, why don't you vary it a little bit? I was nervous about it. But I've learned over the years to just trust, you know, try different proteins, try different vegetables, different grains even. And knowing that the whole thing about maintenance is being self-aware. We start to take the responsibility within us, you know, and we, with our higher power, we know when something isn't right. We can talk about it. And just to have faith and trust that it's okay to vary. I mean, that's healthy. I think for me, choosing the same thing every day was just fear. You know, and after a while, you want to transfer that fear into faith in God and your choices. So let's turn the page to the next page, where it says, I guess these aren't stapled, so it starts with our food plan becomes a way of life. And I love that. Our food plan becomes a way of life, and we begin to live and be our program on a daily basis using the 7 tools and the 12 steps. And I guess within 4 years of... Yeah, it says slipping in maintenance. Okay. I'm sorry. Lisa was nice enough to Xerox these, and so it's a little discombobulated, but she did the best she could. All right. I remember I was taking a trip to Europe about 4 years after I was on maintenance, and... I said, well, what if I can't get the food I need? And my sponsor said, just be of service. Just offer service to whoever you're with. And when I got back, she said something very beautiful to me. She said, I can see that you're beginning to be the program wherever you go. That's part of the recovery. When, you know, it goes from the outside to it's the inside, and we start to really live the steps, live the tools, and be it. And that's what happens on maintenance. You know, it's beautiful. We start to live. Jill's going to talk about the 10th, 11th, and 12th step. So I also wanted to talk a little bit about medical abstinence, because many people, once they come to maintenance, will find some medical issues. And we talked about this in the business meeting. The most important thing is to go to your doctor, your healthcare provider, and get a diagnosis, and then explain to them, it's very important, and for your sponsees, that we're different. You know, we have to abstain from flour, sugar, and quantities. And a lot of doctors don't understand that. So this happened to me. I became hypoglycemic, or anyway, I was diagnosed with that. And then I went to my sponsor and I said, okay, now what do I do? And I had to add metabolic controlled snacks at 1 at 10, 1 at 3. But it wasn't something to get excited about. It was just like the regular, okay, what do we do? You know, an ounce of protein here or fruit here and vary it until I felt like my blood sugar was stabilized. And we have a wonderful program. We can adapt pretty much to any medical diagnosis as long as you have something from your doctor and talk to your sponsor about it. Because I know, you know, part of this disease is denial, and we may want to use that. Oh, you know, I really need this extra whatever. So the important thing is to be honest about what's going on. All right, let's talk about slipping in maintenance. The main thing about slipping in maintenance is that there's no judgment. This is a disease, and things can happen. We're lucky because we just follow the guidelines. It's right in here, right in our Forever Abstinent book, What to Do. And what it tells us is that if the gain is less than 10 pounds, just follow the maintenance food program with these adjustments, and it lists the adjustments: one fruit and only at breakfast, maximum of 2 grains, and so forth. So it's right there. What I do is I really talk to the person who slipped, and if they haven't slipped on sugar or flour, you might want to go one way. If the slip is over 10 pounds or if there's a lot of sugar, then you're going to want to go a different way. And it says if the weight gain is over 10 pounds, you go back to the See How After the First 30 Days food plan with your maintenance sponsor. I think slipping is not great, but it is a learning opportunity. And the learning opportunity is how to make your program better. So what I have my people do is talk about what happened and what can you do differently next time. You know, what tools, what steps didn't you use? Was there a food that was addictive that you needed to cut out? And then work on either slip questions or get back into the basics of what it is. When a certain character defect is showing up, there's a wonderful sheet, and I'm happy to email it to anyone who wants it. It's called Working Any Problem Through the 12 Steps. How many people have that? All right. No, you don't have it in your packet. Okay. Yes. Well, what it is, I'll tell you, it's, can you get it over there? This cord is not long enough. But anyway, it takes you through the entire 12 steps. And instead of saying I'm powerless over food, you write in a character defect. So I'm powerless over my control issues. Let's say, for example, and then it goes into ALMA in our program, presented this at World Service, and I have it online. So if any of you want it, maybe someone could start a sheet going around. I can email it to you. But yeah, sure, that's great. What it does is it goes into depth on, you know, what happened and how to use the steps around it. And usually when you do the fourth step, you realize what triggered you from your first 7 years to cause you to react in that way and then pick up the food. So it gets more at the root of the slip, which I think is really good. All right, so I also wanted to turn to page 88 in the big book. There's just a short section on discipline. All right, we're almost done. It says, we compulsive eaters are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. And that's what I feel maintenance is. I love maintenance. I have never been able to maintain my weight in any program in my life before CEA How. Because every day we get to work with a sponsor, we get to spot what's going on, we get to commit our foods, and It's really just amazing. You know, I feel like it's black and white scientific. And I just love it. So I'm going to end my part with just that bottom paragraph, which says, we accept the fact that ours is a threefold illness, emotional, spiritual, and physical. And we recognize that our successful recovery depends upon our full commitment and daily adherence to the guiding principles as set forth in the See How literature. We must always use the 7 tools, the 12 steps, the 12 traditions to reach additional levels of recovery. We know from past experience our first tool, abstinence, will bring us happiness, contentment, and a sense of achievement in all areas of our lives as we continue with our recovery one day at a time. And now, Jill. Jill's going to talk about the juicy part, the emotional and spiritual.
Hello, everyone. I'm amazed at all the faces here today. Yay! Give yourselves a hand. Woo! Stand up just a second. Take a couple of breaths. Give our bodies that air we need when we've been sitting too long. Good. Arms overhead. Reach up. Can't tell I'm a physical therapist, can you? Or some people say physical terrorist. Okay. Are you ready? When you're ready, have a seat and we'll go on. I'm Jill T. I'm Area 2, and I'm from Oklahoma. Right now, I'm living in North Carolina, so probably on my contact information, you'll see several numbers that confuse me, so they may confuse you too, but hopefully we'll get in touch with each other. I came into program October 18th, 2006, and released 60 pounds and have maintained that weight release. I was brought in by my sister. And the words that brought me to this program were what I'm going to talk about today. She said, Jill, I'm not on a diet. I'm in a spiritual program. You know, it resonated with my core. I could start crying this minute because I'd been looking for those words since I was probably 12 or 13 when I started really battling food thoughts every single minute of my life. So, I want to talk today about our spiritual and emotional recovery in maintenance, how we sponsor in maintenance and help sponsees carry this to their sponsees, and that this is a chain, and it's this program is a spiritual program. And without the spiritual recovery, which leads to emotional recovery, we're not going to stay abstinent, and we won't help anyone else. So my outline gave a lot of meat. It gave a lot of quotes from our literature, but I'm not going to go through all those quotes today. I just wanted to give it to you. When I came into maintenance and was stepped up, I kind of thought I'd arrived. I didn't realize I was only beginning, and it's kind of like when I learned technology. I scratched the surface, and I thought, I'm really getting this stuff. And then some young people came in and showed me, you don't even have a clue, and you never will have a clue. So that's what the wonder of long-term maintenance is, and having people in the rooms to see long-term maintenance. We get to see what happens and that it doesn't end. So spiritual and emotional fitness are essential for continued abstinence. And this is 12 and 12, page 85. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. So this is the beginning, the middle, and the end. The food plan is where we start. It's where we surrender. And it's always part of our journey. However, if I don't stay spiritually fit, that food plan's going to fall away. And it's usually the last thing to go. It's strange. We give up these little things inch by inch, and we don't even realize we're giving it up. So beware is what I have to, my experience says. The next, how do we keep in fit spiritual and emotional condition? So if we're supposed to stay in fit spiritual condition, how do we do this? And how do we pass this on to our sponsees? We as a sponsor and sponsee keep doing what we've been doing. We use the See How concept. We use the 7 tools. And we use the steps of recovery. Nothing really changes. We just keep doing it. So as my first sponsor for maintenance said, I ask her, how do you keep long-term maintenance? I'm afraid. I'm afraid this is going to go away. I'm afraid I'm on a pink cloud and this is all going to burst. She said, Jill, it's the opposite of the definition of insanity. Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Okay, so if you want the same result, which is staying abstinent, do the same thing over and over and over. That just took a lot of stress away. I already knew what to do. Just keep doing it over. Just keep coming one day at a time. There's not a mystery. Keep it simple and just do it over. Now I want to look at the steps and how these steps lead us to emotional and spiritual recovery. Step 1 through 3 is where we admit that this compulsive eating is unmanageable and that there's a higher power that wants to restore our sanity over compulsive eating. And then we surrender. The white flag goes up, we surrender. And I have to do that every day. And most of the maintenance people I speak to, they start their day that way. Third step prayer or the serenity prayer, however we do it. We can do it in our own way, but we've got to start with that. The next thing that usually happens in my day is that I go to prayer and meditation, but I'm going to speak about that in order. So we'll go on to step 4, because at step 4, we start with our inventory. And this step never goes away. It becomes step 10, but we can frequently go back and do a step 4 because we feel like something's just not right. Something's bugging me. This food's starting to call to me, or that person's irritating me. Whatever it is, in maintenance, it's really important to start picking up on those feelings quickly. And what I've seen over the years is as I've picked up on these things, I start noticing it sooner. The sooner I notice it, the less damage I do to me and to others. So a big key in maintenance is to deal with what we're feeling. And we can do a fourth column over it again. We can do the entire inventory over again. Yes, we're already completed this step. However, returning to it periodically benefits us. We uncover new issues. Big book, page 75. We pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character and every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we're delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We're not ashamed. I mean, when I'm ashamed, I can't look you in the eye. But, you know, releasing these things, suddenly I can look at you. And I can see you. Before, I was only seeing my shame. So this is wonderful. We begin to feel, oh my gosh, feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. It's deeper than a belief. And I had a lot of beliefs, but my spiritual experience really started when I surrendered food, because that was my God. Steps 5 through 9, there's new issues uncovered in the fourth step. And this is how we deal with them. When we use 5 through 9, we give our inventory away. We ask God to remove our character defects. We have to be willing to do that. Some of them I want to hang on to. I mean, when I first heard that, I said, why would I want to hang on to something? Well, it had become very comfortable for me to feel justified or rationalized or whatever. lying. Oh, that was a big one. So we become willing to give these character defects away and ask our higher power to remove them, and we make amends, but we consult our sponsors. I know when I entered the program, I thought, oh, I'm just going to make all these amends. Well, I found out that, you know, talk to my sponsor, get some direction, and then make amends. And I still do that. I don't like to make an amends unless it's an immediate amends, but something that comes up that's more difficult, I like to ask my sponsor about. Moving on to step 10. As we work the first 9 steps, we prepare ourselves for the adventure of a new life. But when we approach step 10, we commence to put our See How way of living to practical use. This is where the rubber hits the road. Step 10 is we continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So during the day, if we feel disturbed, we can ask for God's help. We can do it immediately. I often say the Serenity Prayer, or I say, Uncle, help. It can be very fast for me. I don't have to stop what I'm doing. I mean, it's just this awareness that I'm taking over, and I need my higher power to step in and guide. In step 10, I've learned to feel things, admit things, accept things, and amend things quickly. So I used to work in a very busy practice, and sometimes our feelings got on my elbow, and it started rubbing other people. And I used to just, the minute I felt that I'd harmed someone, I dropped that feeling out of my being. I rationalized it, I covered it up, whatever. What I've learned is just to admit it, just to say, hey, Jill, you screwed up right there. Boy, what a gift. You know, at first I thought, why would I want to admit those things? Oh, hell, pardon me. It's such a relief. It's such a release of shame to forget and forgive myself. To accept and forgive myself. So then I go quickly. I say, hey, that didn't feel good. I really didn't want to make you feel that way. I didn't want to say that. I didn't, whatever. And then I can go on, and I'll do a good job after that. At the end of the day, we also review the events of the day, good and bad. I like to start with the good. Who else? Anyone else like to? Okay. I like to say, oh, that was really nice. That was good, because my old mind didn't go there. My old mind only beat myself up. So thank heavens with See How. Now I can say, ah, that person was really beautiful today. That really touched me. I was able to stay emotionally in touch with my higher power and with others. All sorts of good things. I can see miracles that I never saw before. It's beautiful. And then I can say to myself, okay, and what didn't feel good today? And that's just as important, because I don't want to carry it forward, just as I said. So it's wonderful to say, this didn't feel good, but then I have to look at why it didn't. And that often goes to my writing, my reading and my writing, and uncovering those feelings of what happened, so that it doesn't take away my abstinence, doesn't take away my maintenance. Step 11 is where we go next. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only for His will for us. Ooh, that's a hard one. And the power to carry it out. I had this great checklist every day. Okay, God, do this, 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 this. Life will be great. And boy, it's been such a journey to see that there are greater things in my higher power's mind for me than I ever had for myself. And recently I had a horrible accident, or at least to me it was, and it resulted in surgery. And, you know, that was okay too. I had a journey to take, and it wasn't a smooth journey, but it was a growing journey and a learning journey. And I still don't know where that's all going to be used, but it's going to be used. Nothing goes to waste. So this is where I use a lot of prayer and meditation. I usually start my day with it. It can be a minute. It can be an hour. It is not always consistent for me, but it is always consistently how I start my day after I take my first three steps. I just don't want to walk out without my higher power and at least recognizing and saying, hey, I need you. Great. We're doing good. So this is, we sent out questionnaires, and this is a quote from one of the interviewees on regarding how prayer and meditation works in their life. This interviewee says, really, it focuses on keeping in conscious contact with my higher power. So isn't that where we start? I have to pray and meditate or I can't start my day. Yeah, that's the start. I hear people worry about how to do it. Don't worry. Just do it. No matter when you do it, we can't have any long-term spiritual or emotional recovery without it. So it's not going to happen for you unless you add this to your life. And there are a lot of people out there who are good resources. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. What are the principles? We try to practice the See How concept. We try to practice and use the 7 tools. We try to practice and use the 12 steps. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a thing that we do up until we get to maintenance. It is our lifeblood. It's like plugging myself into the electricity. I've got to plug in every day. The interviewee, another one, said, I have to live the program, or what's the point? So I seek to be of service whenever I can. No matter what I'm doing, it's not that complicated unless I make it so. I try to live by the saying, keep it simple. So I like to say to myself, I'm a complicated person. I like to say, just do one thing. What's your next right step? That's it. And then I don't let my mind go past that. That is it. And it works so well. It's just like changed my life. Rachel Z always says, what can I do for the compulsive eater who still suffers today? I take that with me every day. Just what can I do today? And that's part of our third step prayer that we open the day with. The 12 traditions also are so important. I'm not going to go through those one by one, but what they bring, the big book, page 562, says, unity in our program is group expression of our spiritual recovery. So our spiritual recovery are the traditions. Coming to life, as Judy said, it became part of her. I think that's where this all changes. It's not just words. It's part of us, and that's our higher power's work in us. And then the traditions strengthen and guide our recovery. So if you haven't done the tradition questions yet, they are awesome. And they have taught me so much about relationships in group settings, in work settings. Life is easier with the traditions. And so I'll finish. The road to happy destiny. We're here. We're on it. This is not an end. It's a beginning. Every day is a new beginning for us. We have such wonderful things. And even in the challenges, we have wonderful things. Work the steps, tools, and concept to keep us abstinent and spiritually and emotionally fit. Abandon yourselves to God. You will surely meet some of us as we trudge the road of happy destiny. Thank you.
Thank you, Jill. That was great. So now, as we ask our panel members to come on up and sit up here, take a minute to write down any questions you might have to ask of them. And remember again that you're going to need to sign here if you want your, if you give us permission to put your voice on. So come on up, panel members. Yeah, sign over here. This end, all right, and each one of you just qualify and for 5 minutes maybe tell us something you're really passionate about from the maintenance questionnaire or from your own heart, and then we'll field questions from the audience.
Okay, I'm Jim E., compulsive eater.
Hi, Jim.
I've been abstinent since March 21st of 2000. And I've been maintaining a 55-plus pound weight loss for 13 and a half years. So I guess the way, you know, I really like this discussion. And as I was listening to what was being shared in the workshop portion here before, I have vivid recollections of approaching maintenance when I was in this program. It terrified me because the big weight loss experiment was over, and it really snuck up on me. You know, men typically tend to lose weight pretty quick for, you know, whatever reasons. And so I was 6 months into the program, and I was quickly approaching a weight that I thought would be my maintenance weight, and I blew right past it, and I was like, oh, God, you know, and so I tracked down a guy who terrified me, and because he told me I never had to eat compulsively again. I was like, well, don't say that. But anyway, he took me on as a maintenance sponsor, and very carefully laid out, you know, the transition that was described, and it's, man, it's so important. So I had to surrender. I mean, that was like probably a bigger surrender because at this point I was conscious of what was going on. You know, when I first got here, I was clueless. I mean, I was just numb and didn't really, I didn't even know I was coming to this program, honestly. I thought I was going to a different one. And so, I mean, the first surrender was like, yeah, I'm here, man, I need help. That was about it. But the consciousness around my transition and maintenance was really powerful. And it really made me confront the fears and I mean, everything just came to the surface. So I really had to go to God on that one, you know? And at that point, I just gave all my food to my sponsor, and it's been that way since that day that he approached me. None of it's mine. He just tells me what to eat, and that's what I eat. I mean, quantities, you know, I obviously get to make choices, but it's never been mine. And I think that's really been powerful because I'm reminded every day that I have no control over my food. Zero. I have no more now than I did ever. And that's a great place for me to start because, you know, I know less and less as I go further along, which is also terrifying, but there's a real sense of calm. I just feel serene. You know, they talk about serenity. I just feel it in my body when I don't try to run the show. And And so, you know, that weight piece that dictates the maintenance, you know, that gives us the direction that we're here or that we're in a maintenance phase of this program is really the signpost to it's time to get down to work, you know. And as a result of that, I love sponsoring people. And, she was asking about the passion. I go, sponsoring people is really a gift because everybody's journey is different, you know, and being honored or being given the opportunity to stand by somebody as they go through their own journey and witness it for them and be a part of it is just a gift. I mean, it's not something that happens, I think, regularly outside of rooms like this, where people will literally lay themselves open before you, tell you who they are, talk about their fears and their, you know, their issues, however you want to describe it. It's really an amazing thing. And so I don't generally go actively seeking sponsees. I've done that in the past, and it never seems to work out. But when those people show up and they start asking, I just kind of, you know, I'm like, it's the sign, right? It's a sign for me. It's like, all right, you know, tell me your story. I want to hear it. And it always is a wonderful thing. So I'm grateful to be here. That's all I have. Thanks.
Okay. I'm Ruth. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Ruth.
Hi, everybody. So just to qualify, today I have 23 and a half years of back-to-back abstinence. Thank you. That just means I'm old. No, why you're clapping. And I've been maintaining for over 20 years about 120-pound weight loss, which to me is a much bigger deal, actually. And if you do the math, you will figure out that I did the first 30 days for 30 days. I did the second 30 days for a few years. And I've been on maintenance for over 20 years. So it does amaze me how so much more emphasis is placed in this program on sponsoring in the first 30 days and after the first 30 days, and not as much emphasis on sponsoring in maintenance and being in maintenance, when maintenance is where I'm going to spend the rest of my life. You know, I did the first 30 days for 30 days. You know, was it a nightmare? Yes, it was. But it was 30 days, okay? Right? Maintenance is for the rest of my life, and it's been for a big chunk, for two decades of my life. So I have a lot of passion about maintenance, working maintenance, sharing maintenance, talking about it, trying to help. I think one of the problems is that a lot of people don't get to maintenance. So the focus tends to be more on redoing the first 30 days or, you know, redoing the after the first 30 days and never actually arriving at maintenance. You know, I think as we help people to get through those phases and actually get to maintenance, this is where we live. We live in maintenance. I don't live in the first 30 days. I live in maintenance. And so, you know, it's really important, I think, and I love this workshop for that purpose. I was thinking about when Judy was talking about some of the insights that I've had over the years in working with a lot of people. I've sponsored a lot of people over the years. What are some of the issues that come up when someone goes on maintenance or is in maintenance? And clearly there are issues on all levels from the physical standpoint, and they were addressed really well, you know, adding food and how scary that is. And, you know, I've had lots of experiences. I went to fellowship a lot when I started and when I got on maintenance, and a group of us would go out once a week after a meeting, and we'd hang out at a restaurant and we'd all have dinner and blah, blah. And one of the members, I guess, decided to go on maintenance without really discussing it with anyone, including a sponsor, and just kind of watched what other people were eating, and in 2 weeks put on like 15 pounds and wondered what happened and called me and said, you know, I don't know what happened. I'm doing the maintenance food you're doing. And I said, well, it doesn't work that way. You know, it's like you don't just get to like just add all this food. You have to work with somebody. You have to go through it. So, you know, the food thing is very specific and it's very scary. And of course, when I started the program, I thought, oh, I can't wait till maintenance, that extra fruit. Yes, you know, well, I don't eat that extra fruit. You know what I mean? It's like, don't get that attached to extra food because, it really, you know. luckily, by the time you get to maintenance, it's not that important, which I'm gonna guarantee to you. When you get to maintenance, it's just not going to be as important as you think it is in the first 30 days. So the food thing, and, you know, weighing once a week, and I call my sponsor after the first week, and I said, oh, my God, I didn't, you know, I'm the same as I was last week. What did I do wrong, you know? And she's like, no, that's like the goal, right, is to be maintaining. Because in my mind, if you're losing, you're doing good. If you're gaining, you're doing bad. I don't know what you are when you're the same as you were last week. And so that was a big deal, you know, to really start to, like, settle down and go, you know, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm not being bad because I'm not a pound less than I was last week. And so that was a big adjustment. But the thing that once sort of got that into a rhythm, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for 20 years on maintenance. I'm in a rhythm. I don't think about it. I don't, you know, my food is the least important thing in my life today. I don't spend time with it. I don't nurture it. I don't make love to it. I don't do any of those things. I barely even think about it. I eat 3 times a day and I'm done, you know. And I don't care if I ever eat sugar or flour again. I don't care. It's just, it's gone for today. And I'm grateful for that. So what have I been doing for 20 years? One of the things that I have noticed that I find is a real issue when you go on to maintenance is that now we look normal. You get to maintenance, you're at a normal weight, you look normal. So then your mind says, I am normal. Well, now I have a life. Now I can go out and I can date or I can do things or I can exercise like a fiend or I can, you know, travel and all these things that we never were able to do before. Because for me, I was obese. I physically couldn't do a lot of things, but also emotionally, I didn't have the self-esteem to show up places or do things. And now all of a sudden, I'm a normal person. I'm a normal weight. People don't look at me funny. They don't step away from me because I'm freaky looking. You know, it's like the world thinks I'm normal because I look normal. And you know what? I'm not normal. And what happens is all of a sudden you get on maintenance and it's not about trying to lose weight and it's not about that. And all of a sudden you're having a life and you stop doing the things that got you there. And I always say, to anyone will listen to me, that I truly believe that the way I've been able to maintain my abstinence as long as I have is because I continue to work it as if I'm desperate without being desperate. When I first got here, I was desperate, and I was willing to do anything. And I went to meetings every day, and I did everything my sponsor told me to do, and I stayed abstinent. And I, you know what? And I did it because I was dying. And I had no other choice. Well, it's very hard to continue to do that when you're not dying anymore. You're on maintenance, the food is not calling, you're not in the obsession, you're looking good, you're buying clothes in the regular store. You know, it's like all this stuff is happening, and all of a sudden, you're not desperate anymore. And this is the thing that I've discovered in working with people on maintenance, is really working through that obstacle, because what happens is that the meetings start to wane, the service starts to wane, you start to think, I don't really need this, I don't, you know, I'm good now. And invariably, and it was said earlier, the eating is the end of the slip. The slip happens way before you take that bite, and I've seen it happen so many times. So for me, I work it as if I'm desperate without having to live desperate today, and I'm very grateful. Thanks.
Good morning. My name is Pamela. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Pamela.
And I'm grateful to be in recovery, and thank you very much for asking me to join you here this morning. I have been in the program with back-to-back abstinence for 20 years, 3 months, and 2 days, and I'm maintaining a 90-pound weight loss. So this is a great, great program for me. And the reason we qualify and the reason you're clapping is because of the program. You know, it's not any virtue of us as individuals or as members, but it's the program that does it, and I'm grateful to the program. I'm a grateful grateful. I'm a compulsive eater, grateful to be in recovery. And the main thing, well, first of all, when I got to maintenance, I was too naive to even be afraid. You know, I didn't know. I was so desperate when I got into these rooms. I was so miserable and so unhappy and so desperate when I got into these rooms that I just did what I was told. I didn't trust it. I didn't not trust it. I didn't believe in it. I didn't disbelieve in it. I didn't care. I just did it. And when I came up for air, I was hooked. You know, I did without even knowing it, hooked into the routine and the structure, which I so desperately needed. And the main thing, two things for me. One is I believe this very strongly, and I share it whenever I can. Maintenance is absolutely no different from any other phase of the program. It is exactly the same. In maintenance, I write my food down, I call my sponsor, I commit it, I have a structured food plan, I weigh and measure my food, and I do everything in maintenance as I did in my first 30 days, my second 30 days. So it is absolutely no difference. I never like to distinguish between any phase of recovery and any other phase of recovery. So maintenance is just another phase of recovery. And the second thing that I learned is to trust the program. And I also always stress that to my sponsees, and it has worked for me. I was probably, about four, in my fourth and fifth years in recovery in Howe before I actually trusted the program, because my pattern was I didn't gain weight. I was not, didn't have food issues as a young person. I was in about 20, 21 the first time I gained weight. And then my pattern was to, I first gained 20 pounds, lost it, and that was no big deal because I hadn't had a problem with food before. I had no idea it would own me. Then I gained 20 pounds on a commercial food program, lost it, kept it off a number of years. Then I gained 40 pounds, went back to that commercial food program, lost the 40 pounds, kept it off a number of years. Then I gained 60 pounds, went on another commercial food program, lost the 60 pounds. Then I gained 80 pounds, and then I lost that. And then I gained 100 pounds, and that was my history when I came. I was 100 pounds up when I came into these rooms. And so when I came into Howe, I had no reason to believe this would be different, and that's why I didn't trust it, because that had been my history. And so in about years 4 and 5, I remember hearing early on in program, you know, we all have selective hearing, and my selective hearing heard people say, I had perfect abstinence my first 4 years in program, and then I lost it, and I've been struggling ever since. I had perfect abstinence my first 5 years in program, and then I lost it, and I've been struggling ever since. And so I remember thinking to myself, oh, years 4 and 5, spooky biz, you know, I better do something about this. And so at the same time, I actively began working on a connection with a higher power, which I had not had to any great extent before that, and I began to trust the program. And I think it's no coincidence that those two things happened at the same time, strengthening my connection with a higher power and trusting the program. I have such faith in this program, in the structure and the discipline of this program. And the great thing in my mind about CHOW is that it is a spiritual program of action, and it is a spiritual program, but that includes our food plan, and that includes physical recovery. And there's a great pamphlet. I was thinking, I wish I had it with me, but we have it at the literature table in the hospitality room. We have many great pamphlets, a lot of great literature, and one of the pamphlets is the HOW concept and what it means. And what it means is physical recovery and emotional recovery and spiritual recovery. And that is what I think we get when we trust the program. Thanks.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Ginger, and I'm a compulsive eater. And so, freaking, Hi, freaking grateful to be here. When I was interviewed as a person on maintenance and then asked to be on this panel, she said, well, we're asking people with long-term maintenance. And I have about 3.5 years in program. I had been in our sister program since 89 and never really surrendered and always worked the program the way I wanted to work it and put all these special little asterisks. Well, I'm not going to go to 3 meetings because I'm going to school full time and I have children, blah, 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 blah. And so consequently, I lost weight. I kept it off, but I didn't have serenity. So then it would go back on, off. And anyway, I found CHOW because I wanted to lose 10 pounds for my son's wedding. And I had a friend who was in program with me, and we used to call each other and make our own little, well, what are we going to do for abstinence now? Well, if we go to a Mexican restaurant, if we eat this before the food comes, it's okay, as long as we don't eat it with and after. You know, it was bizarre. And for some reason, it never worked. And then she told me she found a program. CHOW. And I thought, what the heck, I need to lose 10 pounds. My son's getting married in 4 months. I'm going to do it. And I walked into a room and I got a male sponsor who could have been my son, but I didn't care because I wanted to lose 10 pounds. And I have a very good body, and that is, I'm a compulsive eater, and if I'm eating compulsively, I will put on a lot of weight. But if I'm eating according to a really good food plan, the weight just falls off my body. And so the weight just fell off my body. But what really happened is that my second meeting, I was on a phone bridge meeting, someone read the HOW concept. And that line that I had heard a gazillion times where the steps, tools, and traditions are not suggested, rather they are required. It's like something went off in my brain, and I had to say, Ginger, you are not unique anymore, and you cannot do the program the way you want to do it. And through the grace of God, I have an amazing sponsor. How I got my sponsor is when I was getting close to maintenance, I just went through the phone list, the phone bridge phone list, and I looked for people who had my carrier, because at that time I had limited minutes. And this person called up, I called, she said, well, you know, I really can't take you for a full service, but I can do your food, and then you can work with someone else. And I did. I thought it was kind of weird. But she had what I wanted, and so I was willing to do whatever she said. And you know, when I grow up, I want to be like her. And one of the things she said to me is, you need to be of service. How are, you know, be of service to others. And so that's what I get to do today. I get to be of service of others. And for me to be sitting at this table with you three people is like an honor. It is such an honor. Because I don't have the long term, but you know what? One day at a time, I have something to offer. I'm not sure what it is, but I have something to offer. And one of the problems that I had is when I lost weight, I lost so much weight so quickly. My daughter did an intervention on me and said, Mom, you have got to stop losing weight. And so I said to my sponsor, this is what happened. And so she started adding food, and I kept losing. So luckily, we got that balanced, and I'm a control freak, and I wanted to be in control of all of that, and I couldn't be. And so I am, one of the things, reasons they asked me to be on this panel is because I love exercise, and before program, I used to exercise so I could eat more. I one time hiked the Grand Canyon, backpacked for 4 or 5 days just so I could eat these certain bars that were acceptable if I did that. Now since coming to program, I am a long-distance cyclist. I really am. Each weekend, I go out for at least a 50-mile bike ride. Last Sunday, I did 100K, which is a 62, but I did 66 because I had to go farther than, not that I had to, but from where I lived, I did that. And you know what? When I did a bike ride that was a 6-day bike ride, 400 and however many miles. And when I was training for that, I needed more food. And I said to my sponsor, what do I do? She said, talk to people in program. I talked to people in program. No one gave me the magic answer. I was really pissed. And they all said, talk to your healthcare professional. So I checked with my insurance, and I had a health coach. And so I talked to her, and I explained the program. I cannot have sugar or flour, and this is what I had to do. Now, I was allowed. I have acid reflux, and so that's a medical abstinence, and so I have to split up my food. And when I was training, and I was training hard, I needed more food. And I worked very closely with my health coach, and I worked very closely with my sponsor, because what was said earlier about being honest, if I wasn't honest, it wasn't going to work. And you know what? I do not want to do anything to sabotage my program today. So God bless you all. Thank you for letting me be here.
Let's give our panel a big hand. And now it's your turn to answer questions. But I have been instructed by the man back there that you must sign before you speak. So the microphone is in the middle. If you feel moved to, just come on up and we can create a line. But please sign first.
I'm Shannon, a compulsive eater.
Hi, Shannon.
Thank you so much for your participation, and thank you, Judy, for putting this together. So I have a question. Ruth, you touched upon it. You know, in maintenance, when we put the food down, we're done losing the weight, life tends to happen, issues that are completely outside of food and weight and weighing yourself. So as sponsors, how do you support your sponsees through their life issues without slipping into being a life coach or a marriage counselor or child guidance counselor? Because these things are going to come up once the weight and the food are in their proper place. How do you keep see how sponsorship?
That was a good question. Thank you. well, for me, how I do it is I keep it with the steps, because the steps apply in every area of my life, and I work my program in every area of my life. So to be honest, especially when somebody's in maintenance, the food is a very, very small part of the life once it's in its proper place, in its proper size. So. Mainly what I try to do, and you know, if you ask my sponsees, I'm not sure they'll agree, but I try to be supportive and compassionate and kind, but at the same time, I really do encourage doing the work, which means doing the steps, whether it's an inventory or making an amends or making lists of what you're unwilling to do or whatever it is. And I always talk about it in terms of, because if you don't, you will eat again. If you don't, you will eat again. And I think that's something people forget. They think, well, okay, so if I don't really feel like doing it, I'll just be miserable for a while. Okay, we're addicts. We're not miserable for a while. We're miserable for a very short time, and then we look for something to stuff it down or to numb us out or to kill us. So I try to keep it. I mean, obviously, once you're working in other areas and there's other programs and other issues that come up, and, you know, I don't necessarily, I'm not a therapist, I don't feel equipped to do therapy, but at the same time, I've worked the steps for 23 years, and I feel like no matter what the issue is, the steps apply. So for me as a sponsor, I try to guide my sponsees to work the steps on whatever, especially what Judy was saying earlier, you know, there's a format, you know, I'm powerless over this thing. Many times I'll have them read the 12 steps again, you know, and write paragraph by paragraph on each paragraph of the first three steps with the issue that they're having. So I think there are no outside issues technically, because every issue, if it becomes enough of a problem, is going to cause you to eat. And the disease, all it wants us to do is eat. That's 24/7. That's all it plans on, is how to get this person to eat. And it's my job as a sponsor to try to help them to stay one step ahead of that. So hopefully that answers it.
Anyone else want to answer?
I wanted to thank. Can you hear me? Okay, thanks. I wanted to thank Judy and Jill and all of the panel for being here. I have a couple questions, actually two. On the maintenance sponsoring guide, the ceremony, and I'm asking this because I have a sponsee currently that is ready for the ceremony. When I did this, I wrote them out. I wrote out my answers to all these. But when I look at this, this looks like a few hours of time. Is that not true? I don't know. I'm just trying to prepare myself because day to day when I did these, I answered the questions in writing, and then I talked to my sponsor day every day on the phone. When I would commit my food, I would also answer each part. So if you have experience in doing the maintenance ceremony, that's one of my questions. Actually, it's all. Anyone that would like to answer that?
I'll address that first. We have the maintenance questions, which of course we do answer on a daily basis. Once we've completed the maintenance questions, then we have the maintenance step-up ceremony. It's very similar to our first 30 days. We have the first 30-day questions. We write them every day. Then we have our step-up ceremony. The thing I love about our program is that it says we're all sponsored according to the same guidelines. It doesn't mean we all do everything exactly alike. And the way I did this maintenance step-up ceremony with my sponsor and the way I do it with my sponsees is, because I go to face-to-face meetings, is a face-to-face one-day sit-down. And it is a few hours. It can be a few hours. The third step ceremony, I remember, is a few hours, and as is the maintenance step-up ceremony. So that's been my experience with doing it.
I'm just going to say something real quick because I'm looking. You do have to put your first and last name when you sign here. Yeah, so please don't just put an initial or just your first name. It has to be first and last name. Okay. So come
still
back
working?
Up if you
yeah.
haven't done that. Sorry.
Joyce, Pulse of Eater. I'm pretty new to see how I'm new to maintenance. And I'm wondering, and I've wanted to ask this question, and so now I moved to do so. And thank you very much for putting this together. I'm really happy to be here. How do you choose the number of when you're at maintenance? And doesn't it fluctuate from week to week or month to month? And how do you know, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I've lost 105 pounds or lost 34 pounds. I mean, because mine has been changing a little bit. And I don't, you know, I want to come up with something. So I don't know how anybody that can answer that can help me with that because I'm new to all this.
I'm going to take a chin.
Yeah. So this is like the number. I think only your higher power knows what the number is. I mean, it's true. It's really great to get a third-party-like idea of where you should kind of land. But I invariably find that everybody's different. And even though a chart may tell you X, the body, every time... the body seems to land where it needs to land. I mean, it'll settle. I mean, I've never not had that experience with myself or with somebody else. It's managing the anxiety around what that number is going to be, I think, that really is, you know, most important. And as a sponsor, I go, look, don't worry, we're gonna find it. It's I promise you, it'll show up, and it always does. I mean, I don't know, you know, I'm sure there's always exceptions somewhere out there, but it's not about that number, you know? And so I don't, it's like, don't worry about it. It'll take care of itself. Focus on the work, you know, is kind of usually where we end up. I mean, because that's the reality. So.
I'm so sorry that it's time. I don't know what happened to the time. But just remember, you can go to these four people. They'll be at the conference, or Jill or I. And if you haven't put your last name up here, please come right now and make sure. No, we need your first and last names. It's a legal document.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, it can be signature, but just your first and last.
So which one is signature?
Oh, Okay. Anyway, everyone, thank you for being here, and let's give everyone a hand.
So good to see you.